Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We are in the concluding last couple of shows regarding our long series on tithing versus giving. And looking back at it, it makes me wonder why we spent so much time on it until I start thinking about the complexity of what goes on, what is going on in our idea and approach to tithing and giving and money. And I was thinking about it, and really what it comes down to is our idea of, in relationship to God, that He is, basically, He loves us conditionally. And that unless we meet those conditions, He will not or cannot express His love to us. In other words, if we don't do something, He won't do something. And that is so ingrained in us. And we need to get that order reversed. We don't give in order to please Him or receive His blessings or, you know, whatever, period, anything. We don't give in order to anything. Instead, because that's not giving, okay? That's bribing, that's manipulating, that's not giving. When we talk about giving, we're talking about freedom. We are talking about being equally free to not give. And we talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago, that you are not free to give unless you're equally free to not give. If you stop giving, would anybody notice? Would anybody raise an objection? If so, there is an expectation there. Now, I'm certain if you're, for instance, giving to a charity regularly and you change that, they're going to want an explanation. What can we do? But that's different than from a religious standpoint. If you are giving to your church on a regular basis and God tells you, stop, are they going to respond to you differently? If so, that was one of your strings that are attached to you to that group of people. And I've always liked to look at giving as once we have done the hard work of hearing God regarding an issue. Lord, am I supposed to give? How much should I give? And then giving and doing it. Pretty much, that's my responsibility. I can be done and be moving on to the next thing. But if others are relying on me giving rather than on God, there's going to be a reaction whether we give a lot or a little. or stop giving altogether. So why we've spent so much time on it is because it does have such a huge impact, not just because of the finances, but because of the intermingling within our relationships. Now, I occasionally check out what's going on like the big major TV ministries and radio ministries. And I'm always amazed. And I support ministries. And I'm always amazed at how creative they are in integrating the whole concept of giving into their teachings. And regardless of the topic, there's a way to integrate it in. And I was kind of raising objections to the Lord about that. And what we ended up with talking about was how he wants to talk about it a lot more, but from a totally different perspective. That if we see giving and tithing and the financial aspect of our relationship with him and with others as a if-then, if I give, then God will. If we fall back on the tried and true, it's a matter of faith, and all the old cliches, nobody who's ever tithed has ever gone hungry, these kinds of things, which is just blatantly not true. But the point being that what that says about our mindset is that we don't have everything we need for life and godliness now. We have to add to it. There's something we lack. But if we are in the beloved, in our beloved God now, if we have already received everything we need for life and godliness, if we are ruling and reigning now, if we are co-inheritors now and joint heirs now, we have received. So we don't give to receive. We give because we've received. And what I started looking at was so much of what they were saying actually had a significant truth to it. It was out of order. And God does want to grow what we give. It's like planting a seed. There's an expectation of increase. And right now, there's a stronghold that's flourishing globally in regards to prosperity, the whole notion of prosperity. And yet God's basic fundamental expression of his nature is prosperity, growth, expansion, creativity, more. Because that's all about giving. Not to get, but because you've received. So what does that look like? If you plant a seed, why did you plant it rather than eating it? For instance, a kernel of corn. Why did you plant it? Why didn't you just cook it up and eat it? Because you wanted more. You knew that if you planted that seed, it would bring forth 1,000 times more than in and of itself. Because that's what it does. It's an investment in the future. It's activating what it is created to do. When corn grows on a corn stalk, if nobody's there to eat it, to harvest it, it falls into the earth. Now, the other animals may come and eat it as well, but the reason that they do that, the cycle is that it will go back into the ground and grow and reproduce itself. And it's so funny that the church wants to increase in size, in number, and influence. But how do we as individuals prosper? We give, not just financially, not just money. And it's not even something we are often necessarily aware of. But that the giving that comes from God is an expression of our confidence in having already received. When we have experienced Him, when we have partaken of His healing, His encouragement, His patience, everything that's about Him, when we've experienced His power, His integrity, His graciousness, we can give all that. And we express and grow and prosper in those areas, not in order to receive more graciousness and integrity and power, but because we've already received and experienced and have confidence in all those characteristics of God. And I think one of the reasons the financial aspect is so critical to us is that it's something we can see. We judge success, or now it's greed. We are getting so warped in we're easily manipulated by others and by our own emotions. But God knows for a truth the rule that He has put in place here on this earth, that only the strong can help the weak. And we let others rob us of that great joy when we let others be strong so they can help the weak. You, as a Christian, are tasked, part of your projects here on this earth is to become strong in one area or another. Ideally, all areas, because strength is part of God's nature. So spiritually, you are strong. And strength in this context just means you have full capability of exercising a characteristic that God has in His own nature. For instance, encouragement. You are a strong encourager. You are a strong motivator. You are a strong giver. You are a strong healer, a strong friend, a strong whatever. But part of the danger of this stronghold that is so prevalent now is to renege that strength and abdicate to another. And there are parallels going on in the global political hierarchy and the religious circles, where individuals have abdicated their responsibility to an illegitimate authority. Now, in the political realm, in the global realm, we can talk about the role of government. We don't want to get too far afield in talking about that. But we could talk about the legitimacy of government and rulership and how that is tied to different ages. And I like where Paul talks about if you are a slave and you can't do anything but be a slave, be the best slave you can be. But if you are a slave and you have a chance to be free, be free. So we take in context the situation we're in, and we don't get distracted and rail against the consequences and the circumstances God has placed us in. So this is the age, the eon we are in, and we want to take every advantage of it. And if we have an opportunity to be free, we want to be free. But if we think that our government can do a better job of helping the poor, for instance, then we have abdicated to an illegitimate authority the responsibility that God has given to us. Way back back in 2008, when we had a minister running for president, and one of the planks in his campaign was that it was the responsibility, or it was a good thing, for the government to help the poor. That the poor we will always have with us, but that it is the responsibility of the government to help the poor, to help the needy. And that was very disappointing, because the commandment is to us as individuals, not the government. You are to help the poor. You start with your family members. If they need help, you help them. Then you go to your neighbors. And if your neighbors need help, you help them. Then you go to your community and you help. And shame on any community that needs to go to the government for help. But we've turned it backwards, where, well, I'm already giving to the government in my taxes, let them help the poor. But first, practically speaking, they'll never do as good of a job as you can. Secondly, and one of the reasons being is that whoever's closest to the situation knows what is actually needed. And second to that is when you give to anyone else to accomplish a task, now this is true whether it's the government or a charity or a church, every time it goes from one hand to another, it loses some of its value. And when you think that any of your taxes are used to help other people around the world, feed them, or feed others, help the poor in this country. There's a reason there haven't been studies done on how much of a percentage of our taxes actually go to help our fellow citizens or citizens around the world. I bet it would be less than 1 penny, 1%. And we think, well, they're managing it well. They are not. And if you gave it a half a thought. But that's also true with charities and your church. Every time that money, that resource changes hands, it is lessened because somebody else takes a cut. Oh, well, then you say, but then they're able to eat, they're employed. But that's not what you're giving for. That's abdicating your responsibility. And just think about it. If everybody just took care of their own family, so why is it the way it is? So why is it that we count on a higher authority, whether it's the church or charity or the government, to take care of, what do they call it, the safety net? Why can't you be your family safety net? Because it's easier. It's hard to deal with someone when they're in need. And it's certainly hard to ask for help when in need. It's real hard to go to someone and say, I need help. But it's not so hard to fill out a form and wait for the check. If you have to go to a family member and say, could you use some help here? That's hard for a myriad of different reasons. But people have gotten used to going to the government because there's nothing embarrassing. It's become easy to go on welfare, to have food stamps, to be on the dole, or to be accepting charity. And that comes up against what God has created us to be able to receive from Him. We've gotten that same idea that if we do what the church authority tells us to do, then God will take care of us. And if He doesn't, it's not about our relationship with Him. It's a reflection of what we're being taught. In other words, if your church is telling you that if you tithe, and this is happening a lot, this is amazing, some of the stories that are coming in, that people that have donated and tithed to their local church for decades, 20 years and more, and now they need help, they need to make a couple house payments. And they go to the church and they say, we've been, you know, faithful here and have been loyal and supporters of this ministry, and we need some help. And lo and behold, they're turned away. Well, we don't have any, or there are others that need it far more than you do, or we can only give you this amount, and it's not enough. All that's doing is revealing our misconceptions of how skewed our relationship is, as reflected in our finances. Thinking that somebody else, a government or anyone else is going to be responsible for you as you get older is counter to God's intention for you and is obviously unreliable. But taking care of your own responsibilities is work. Taking care of your own needs and those of your family and giving to those closest to you and being responsible from God, recognizing that the situation you are in has been finely crafted for you to learn what he wants you to learn, to rule and reign, starting in your own life. And that if you push that circumstance to someone else, you are rejecting God's training opportunity. Now, for some, this may not be the time to be dealing with that. And we're muddling through, and everybody has a time and a season to deal with every single one of these situations. So there's certainly no condemnation. The point is, if we haven't gone through the series of steps of deciding whose resources we have, we are easily manipulated. If we take it for granted that, for instance, if you've been paying into the Social Security system all your life, it's just the same as if you've been giving into a church all your life, because you think partially that when you're in need, they'll be there for you. Likewise with the Social Security. They're not, it's already falling apart. And hopefully it won't be a surprise that when you go to them, when you retire, it's not going to be what you're expecting. You're not going to be able to meet your needs. And the reason it's such a surprise is because all along you never questioned the process, the system that you were involved in. So I really think that's one of the reasons we've had to spend so much time on this, because we've come at it from so many different angles. And really what we want to conclude is that so much of our misunderstanding of our finances and how we got into this situation and how we are to go forward is about the order of giving. That we don't give in order to receive. We don't minister to others so we will be ministered to. We don't heal others so we will be healed. We don't step out in God. We don't test our faith. We don't do things so God will do something else. It's the other way around. It always goes back to, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? And when he tells you something, whether it's to give or not give, or minister or not minister, say something or not say something, when he says yes, do, or no, don't, you know the resources are available. They're not only there, they're available to you. But it's your responsibility to be able to hear him clearly, know how to test what you're hearing, and then act on it. But that's what this is all about, a personal relationship with God, with a living God who speaks to you clearly and freely and without constraints. And our process and our challenge is to be able to hear him clearly. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be back here next Saturday, same time. Pick it up here. Like I said, we'll hopefully be winding things down. We've got just a few more practical points we want to go through as far as some practical tips on how to deal with finances, questions to ask God, things we need to think about for ourselves, so that going forward, this big chunk of our lives, especially right now, can be put in order so we can move forward knowing this is a settled issue in our lives. So thanks for tuning in. You can always drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. And you'll notice we've making some changes on the website as well. We're just going to do that as we can, and if you want to be kept up to date on those, sign up on the website and we'll keep you informed. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. This is Diane of Prepare Radio.